Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Donnie Collins joins us from the Scranton Times Tribune. Donnie, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Same here, Steve. Good to be here.
All right. So let's get to the bowl part of it. The way it played out, they ended up going to the Outback Bowl. It's been 11 years since you and I have gone down there for a game. Were you surprised at all that it ended up this way, or did the logic of it then settle in once you found out about it?
Yeah, I think both are the answer there. I mean, I didn't realize it had been 11 years. I knew it had been 11 years. I remember the game, but 2010 doesn't seem like 11 years ago. You're our age.
Yeah, it's true. For you and me, it feels like, yeah, it was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I remember Matt McGloin threw five interceptions in the game. I know he doesn't like to be reminded of it, but yeah, well, once you look at the pecking order and see, well, who's picking where, yeah, it makes sense. The Outback Bowl would want Penn State. You know, they're not. Wisconsin had played there a couple of years ago. Maybe Wisconsin preferred to go to Vegas. Maybe Penn State didn't. Who knows? But yeah, the whole pecking order when you look at it seemed to indicate that there was a possibility that, I mean, possibilities aside, you want Penn State among of the three or four teams that were probably in that mix there. Penn State's the one you'd want. They bring fans. They're going to draw eyeballs on television. That's the team you want playing there if you're the Outback Bowl, and they just took them. And it makes sense. I don't say things that I don't hear from somebody that might know. And you know, I'd heard Vegas was probably likely all week, and then you started hearing Sunday morning, the Outback Bowl probably will end up taking them. So I wasn't surprised. I think it's a great destination for them. I think it's great to play on New Year's Day. You always prefer to do that. Yeah. And then you get an opponent here where if you beat Arkansas, you have some things you could say at the end of the year that, hey, we beat two SEC teams. We beat ranked teams. We beat a bunch of them. We finished strong. This is a much, much better opponent than they were going to get at any of the other
players. Right. No,
so I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, no, I do too. I think it's one of those, like, that's an opponent with cachet to it. And I think that brings a lot to the table. For younger players, you know, when you look at the Jalen Reeds, a Tyler Elsdon, you know, guys like that, how important are the next couple of weeks in your opinion? Because, I mean, they're not going to zero in on Arkansas for another 10 days or so.
No, when Sam Pittman did his press conference the night they announced the game, he said it might be December 20th before he even thinks about,
right,
you know, game planning for Penn State. I'm sure James is the same way. He didn't give a date. I'm sure that's the same thing. But, yeah, I mean, this month is, there's some big things happening in December every year. Now it's just such an important month anymore with the signing day and finishing up your recruiting class. And these guys have to go and hire some coaching, you know, possibilities on defense. But yeah, the most important thing I think is getting the guys you have in the system extra reps in practice and getting your veteran guys some rest. But yeah, to get, you know, guys like Reed played a lot down the stretch. Kalen King played a lot more down the stretch than he had been, but he's one of the freshman guys who played a lot. But it's not just them; it's sophomores. It's, you know, get Bayou some extra reps, get Mega some extra reps, and guys who've been in the system who now they're going to get a chance to maybe next year play a lot more than they had. So as this has always been a huge month. I think sometimes coaches even downplay how big it is, but this is always a month where you see one or two guys emerge, you know, heading into the next calendar year as real possibilities of starter, you know, to start.
Agreed, because I mean, one of the more comical things I hear, and it's, I mean, let's, you know, and I find it completely comical. Last year they didn't go to a bowl game, so they lost out on a bowl practice. They missed out on two. Because they would have played the next Saturday, because they played the 19th against Illinois. I think they're going to play in the 26th in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. So they missed on a Tuesday, Wednesday. Those are the two practices you're all wrapped up in. This is different. There's no limit on how many you can have now. That's gone. But you could have as many as 13 to 15 practices, and this is where it does make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm more than willing to throw away the record, anything that happened last year. I think the NCAA is throwing it away because everybody has gobs of eligibility left. But this year is, you're right, a completely different animal. This is a month where you can build your program, and I think Penn State has a lot to build with some of those guys who we didn't even see play.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Exactly right. You and I are used to, over the years, a lot of stability on a coaching staff, right? That would be fair, right?
This is weird. Really weird every year now.
Going way back. So let's get to Anthony Poindexter. He's staying, you know, and how important is that, even though it's going to end up being his second year on the staff, but how important is that to have that kind of presence still there?
I think it's vital. I mean, when you're replacing a guy, look, they're not just replacing an assistant coach. They're replacing a guy who,
yes,
Brent Pry, who was a heartbeat of the defense, who was a confidant of the head coach, who is known, who is basically a second head coach on your staff. To replace him, it's just not going to happen. You're not going to get that kind of guy. You might get a good defensive coordinator, but you're not going to get the same kind of guy. So,
right. So
what you really need to have here is you need to have as many guys. If they're doing a good job, I'm saying, and Poindexter, by all accounts, did a great job.
Yes, no doubt.
Yeah, to have him back and have that stability and have Terry, obviously Terry Smith back, and to be able to have a guy like that back on the defensive side of the ball. When you're replacing an institution like Brent Pry became, it's vital. I was surprised. I thought for sure that would be a guy that Virginia would bend over backwards to bring in. I don't know what happened. Nobody does, but it's one of those things where it's Penn State's gain no matter what happens. So whether he ends up being the defensive coordinator or just comes back as a safeties coach, and he helped Jair Brown take major strides this year.
No doubt.
Jair Brown was an okay player in 2020. He was a great player in 2021. So he's got a lot of talent at that position, and I think he's the guy who you could really look at as somebody who can build for you in the future. And I think he could be a defensive coordinator if
yes,
you go that way.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because he's in the position of co-defensive coordinator. You're exactly right about that. I have to ask you, this is about your area. You brought up Jair Brown, so that triggered this question. Between Jaquan Brisker, Jair Brown, Anthony Wiggin, you're around the Lackawanna deal. What has made that a good place for a player to develop and then get themselves on track to go to the next level, both academically and physically?
Mark Duda.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be the answer.
He's an unbelievable coach. If he put his name out there and said, "Hey guys, I want to coach on a Division I staff next year," he'd have major programs jumping to get him. He's that good a coach. He played in the NFL. He's kind of a father figure to these people. They come in here, from all walks of life, all different corners of the state, of the East Coast. Some from the Midwest. You get guys who were big time prospects who didn't pan out. You get guys who were just forgotten about. Every type of kid goes there, and they all say the same thing, that Duda expects things from them that were never expected of them before, and he gets the best out of them because of it, because they turn into mature young men. And I think that's in a lot of ways what happened with Brisker. He came in as he was a guy who could have played. And he could have gotten a scholarship at a MAC school or something like that. But Brisker became a really almost legendary kind of player for Penn State because he got that good start at Lackawanna. Jair Brown was a forgotten about kid. He was a good two-way star in Jersey, but he just didn't have the offers. He went to Lackawanna and he got molded into the type of player they focused him at safety. And he became a really good player, very good, solid player who was really learned how to study the game. Duda, I think, from his NFL background, he was a guy who wasn't super talented, but he was a big, strong, tough guy, and he made a nice NFL career for himself. And I think he sees himself in a lot of these kids, And he's been at Lackawanna for so long that, you know, he's been putting kids in the Kaiser Waite and kids like that, you know, Bryant McKinney, who've come through Lackawanna and, yep. and become major NFL players.
No doubt.
But he's doing that now, and they're just going to Penn State, so everybody's kind of seeing it in the state. But he's a tremendous man, a tremendous coach. He's really the backbone, along with a really good staff that he's put together of what's become a really good pipeline for Penn State.
Yeah, oh, believe me, and I remember Bryant McKinney, and when Bryant McKinney ended up going to Miami, that was a big deal at the time. And the Bryant McKinney story, I'll never forget. Butch Davis, right? McKinney was thinking about going to the NFL draft. You remember this story?
Yeah, I know this is yep. coming.
Right? Butch walks in, and he talks to Bryant McKinney, and he says, Bryant, come back. We can win a national championship together. So, mm-hmm. again, and there's a deadline as to when a guy has to declare. So McKinney decides, you know what? I'm going to bypass the NFL draft. I'm coming back to Miami. 2 days later, Butch Davis took the Cleveland Browns job. All right, so it's just way to go. Okay, so Mark's been there such a long time. Why has he stayed? I mean, it's everybody has a fit in their job in life. Why is this such a fit for him where he stays?
I don't know the answer to that. Like, he's been here. I mean, when you say a long time, he's been there since the 90s. Like,
I know.
Mid-90s. Yeah,
No, when it comes to being someplace a long time, I've been someplace a long time.
That's
true. So on levels of staying a long time, okay, but dude has been there since the 90s. He's like, he's been there since the 90s. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I've been here since 1980. What the? but that's interesting that a guy, like, obviously he loves where he is.
Oh yeah, he's from the area. He was Lackawanna is an interesting place because they always seem to be able to do it the right way here. They don't usually, you know, with their, you know, with their basketball, they had a little issue with the basketball program a couple of years ago. It was a small issue, and the, you know, it's not like, you know, you see some of these at the junior college ranks where they, you know, it's completely a circus. Lackawanna has never been that way. And I think he enjoys running a program like that, and not I don't think he wants to be an assistant. I think he wants to have his own deal, and they've pretty much let him do what he's wanted to do and run it the way he's wanted to run it since the 90s. And it took him about 10 years to make it a really grand, but once he did, he started getting quality players in there, and he's a guy who really talked highly of that aspect of impacting players' lives the way he's been able to. And I'm not sure you get to do that as a defensive line coach at a Big Ten school in his mind. And I'm sure defensive line coaches at Big Ten schools would disagree with me, but I think in his mind that he's impacting more people doing this.
Yeah, and one final question on that, because I just find this is a fascinating topic. What has allowed, I mean, because James has been smart about this, you know, and they picked the right guys. I mean, Brisker's graduating. I mean, he's graduating. Jair's on that track. Same thing with Wigan. But what has the relationship been like between Mark Duda and the Penn State staff that has maybe opened this pathway?
Yeah, James, I think, is the real key, because I might be wrong, but I think Bill started. I think Bill got Paris Palmer.
Yeah, he did.
When they needed because it was Paris was really the guy who started, because there's stories about how, you know they've had guys here who they offered to Penn State, McKinney included, and they didn't go after because that's just not the way they did the program years ago.
Right.
But
and
that, know,
that's
needed,
true. That's true about McKinney. Yep.
Yes. And they needed a guy at tackle, and you know, when Bill was there, and that was, you know, the situation Bill was in with the roster, it was a good thing to have, to be able to go to a junior college and get a guy who could potentially come in and play. But James has really expanded. And I think in a lot of ways, James and Duda are kind of the same personality types. It doesn't surprise me they get along. I'm sure they knew each other because James coached at Maryland, and that's where Duda played. Their relationship, you know, they're up here a lot. Ricky did a good job, too. Ricky Ronnie was always one of those guys who was up here.
Yep.
Yes. He was a big part of that, too. I shouldn't mention him. But, yeah, James was up here the other day. I think it really comes down to James takes this very seriously. It's a serious pipeline for him. He wants the very best guys they have here. He tends to get the very best guys they have here. So I that's the way junior colleges work. You know, once you have that pipeline, it tends to continue to manifest itself, and it's done better for Lackawanna because there's a difference now. Back in the day, the pipeline for Lackawanna used to kind of be West Virginia. Now it's Penn State. Now you're getting a different kind of athlete in here, a kid who's going to take a chance at himself to maybe get to a school like Penn State. So I think it's kind of helped itself in a lot of ways, the pipeline. But I think Duda's wanted it for a long time. I know Duda's wanted it for a long time to be this way. And James is the guy who's pushed it over the top, along with Ricky and some of the other guys. Phil is up here a lot now. So, yeah, I think that's kind of really where it starts.
Great conversation. I really enjoyed it a lot. I learned a lot, too. Donnie, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Can't wait to see you.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. We'll see you in Tampa.
Yeah, see you in Tampa, and we'll talk before then, I'm sure.
Definitely, definitely.